Time for revenue losses.
Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Aharon, speak to Aharon, v'yomar te'elov, and you should tell him, when you light the candles, el mor ne'aminoira, yo'iru shivas ha'neiros. Facing towards the body of the menorah, the seven candles should light. In other words, instead of the top of the neiros, they were movable, they were adjustable. Instead of facing them outwards, they should face towards the inside of the menorah. El mul pnei ha-menorah yo'iru shivas ha-neiros. Vayas kein Aharon, and Aaron did that. El mul pnei ha-menorah he'elo neiroseh. Facing the menorah is how he lit the candles. Kasher siva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem spoke to Moshe. There's a famous Rashi over here that quotes a Chazal. Vayas kein Aharon. Aaron did this. Lahagid shvachoy shel Aaron. To teach us the praise of Aaron. Shaloi shina. He did not deviate one bit from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said like the menorah. He did it exactly the way he was commanded. So all the Mepharshim ask a kasha. Like that's a chiddush of Aaron HaKayin. Aaron the Kayin Gadol. Godel Hador, right next to Moshe Rabbeinu, he did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, and he didn't change from what Hashem told him to do. That's a chiddush of Yavi Aaron HaKohen. So the Ramban over here says that the praise of Aaron HaKohen was, he didn't really have to do the mitzvah every single night. It doesn't say that if it dafke, the Kohen Godel has to light the menorah. It says Aaron Ubono, Aaron and his sons can light the menorah. Lahagid Shvachay Shala Aaron. It teaches us the shvach of Aharon Vayas Kain. He did it every day of his life. He could have given it over to his sons, but he didn't. Because of his chavivus for the mitzvah of the menorah, Lahagish Shvach Shalash Shalishina, he didn't change one bit. Even though he didn't, he wasn't mechuyev to light the menorah every single day. The Chasam Sofer adds a little bit of a different angle, same shot, but with a little bit of an angle to it. He says, it's a Dabar Yadua, that the mitzvah of the lighting of the menorah and the burning of the ketores on the Mizbeach Hazav that came at the exact same time. So it was impossible for the same person to do the menorah and to do the ketores. Either he did one or the other. Now, there might have been a welcome to say that doing the ketores, Aaron should do the ketores at least once, twice, because the ketores was a zgula for Ashiras. It's a davar yadua that every kohen wanted to be zeich in the ketores because it was his gula for Ashiras. So Aaron, what he could have done was light the menorah one night, next night he'll do the ketores, like a chayzer chalila, back and forth to gain that Ashiras. Vayas kein Aaron. So the chasam sofer lahagid shvachay shel Aaron shelo yishina. Aaron was not interested in Ashiras. Agam ketores is a mitzvah, but the mitzvah of the menorah represents the oir hatorah. It represents the chokhmas hatorah. It says, Horogu b'ner havim lebonim talmi dechachonim. Those are the riches that he wanted. He didn't want the riches of money. He was interested in the riches of chokhmah. He was interested in the riches of his children also being talmi dechachonim. As I said, the Chasam Sofer. I would like to say a third pshat. B'derech hadrush. Because from the pasuk is mashma, that the chiddush was that he didn't change from the way that the neiros was supposed to be set up. Vayas kein Aharon is not just mashma that he did the mitzvah. Vayas kein Aharon, what's the lashon? Vayas kein Aharon, what does that mean? El mul pnei ha-menorah he'elo neiroseh. He lit the candles facing the menorah, mashma, that the not deviating was in that respect that he faced the neiros towards the menorah. So why is that so special? Like, what was the nekuda over there? You have to understand why indeed were the candle facing inward. If you want to light up the Beis HaMikdash, it's better to face the candles outward to spread the rays of light. What was the meaning of the candles facing inward? And the answer to that is that the purpose of the candles of the menorah was not to produce light in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all light. He supplies us with the light at night in the Midbar. He supplies the light of the Bria. Hashem doesn't need our light. So what then is the light of the menorah? The Gemara says of Pshat that it teaches us that the Shechina rests with Klal Yisrael forever because the candle was eternal. There was an Er Tamid there that was never extinguished and moved on forever. But there's another purpose in the Neiris of the menorah. There's a light that lights up a room, but there's a different kind of a light that doesn't light up a room. It's a spotlight. It focuses on a particular thing, and it doesn't light up the rest of the room. It just sheds light on the thing that you want to see. The purpose of the candles focusing towards the menorah was to spotlight the beauty of the menorah. The menorah had many different designs on it. Kaftei reha, it had balls, prochel, it had flowers, it had gevim, it had cups. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, the menorah. Go to Yerushalayim, to the old city today, you see there's a beautiful model of the menorah there. Wonderfully beautiful model of the menorah. The real menorah looked a lot more beautiful. So the candles were focused inward to shine on the menorah, to spotlight the menorah. That's why they were facing inward. So what does that got to do with Aaron? Aaron lived the lesson of the menorah. The menorah teaches us that the Or HaTorah has to focus on the person to light up the good midos within the person. That's what Aaron HaKohen was. Lahagin Shvachar Shal Aaron Shaleshina. He was a human menorah. By him, the Or HaTorah lit up in such a way that the midos that were found within him, the mid of Anova, the mid of Chesed, the mid of being a Reidim Shalom, the Or HaTorah lit up and focused on him in such a way that the beautiful midas were evident on Aaron. You can't have midas without the Or HaTorah. Doesn't exist. The midas have to be acquired through Torah. The main Torah ain't Derech Eretz. Vice versa. You can't have Torah without Derech Eretz. It goes hand in hand. So Vayas came Aaron, Lahagish Shvachar Shel Aaron Shaleshina. He didn't change from what the menorah represents. The Or HaTorah focusing on the beauty of the menorah. The Or HaTorah of Aaron focusing on his beautiful midas. Klal Yisrael is very lucky. We have role models to look back on. And as great as the Gedolim were in Torah, they were just as great, if not greater, in midas. I'd like to say over a couple of mices, just going to get into this. Rav Elie Baruch Kamai was the Rav in Mir, late 1800s, early 1900s. When Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Kavanah Rav, was Nifter, Rav Elie Baruch did not stop crying. For days and days and days he was crying. So the Mishpacha, his family, yes, listen, we understand it's taka a big loss, but that you can't stop crying for so long. So he says, you don't understand what we lost. So I want to give you two examples. I sat on the same bed as Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. I want to show you two examples of his godliness. There was a maisa where one of the fellows in Covenant was accused of some wrongdoing. And the Kehillah worked very hard together to keep him out of jail. So we were sitting on a bezdin together, and we were very much involved in a very difficult halacha, very difficult psak. All of a sudden, the door of the bezdin shtiva opens up. Rebbe, Rebbe, you heard the news. Yaakov was freed from jail. Oi, thank you so much for telling me what a simcha gevaldik. Thank you so much. 5 minutes later, another guy runs in. Rebbe, you heard the news. Yaakov was freed from jail. You mean it? Oi, thank you so much. Gevaldik, such good news. He's mamish mesamech. For the next hour, every 5 minutes, different people were walking. Every time, he mamish was mesameh with the fellow like he never heard the news before. Rav Elie Baruch was sitting, he was nishtayim. Mamish, every single person came in there, they felt so gevaldic that they were the ones that were mevaser, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, this besura type. That's maisha number one. You think Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, we were involved in a difficult entire. And yet, it wasn't beneath him to be able to make every single yid feel good and be mesameach with him. Just because somebody came before him to tell it to me, to tell me the news, said this is less of a chesed. He was, every single yid he was mesameach with and thanked him for the gevaldik chesed he did with him. That was maisa number one. Maisa number two. A couple of fellows came to Yitzchak Elchanan while he was in the middle of his bezdin, and they asked him a shayla, an often a shach. They were from a city right near Kovna, which Rav Yitzchak Elchanan had a shaykhus to. They used to be shaykhus on an open shach. So they asked the Rav Lishayla, they wanted to know what the halach is. So this Chochanan, in addition to being the Goyin Hadar, he also was very perceptive. And he figured out, mitoich their words, that the Rav must have paskened against the Shach, an open Shach, which was, for Rav especially in those days, was a bazillion. And these fellows would probably wanted to get rid of the Rav, and this would be a means of getting rid of the Rav. So Yisrael Chochanan, he paskened, he's not like the Shach. He said, the halacha is like so-and-so. Oh yeah, okay, fine. Because he purposely made a mistake. After they left, he sent a telegram to the city. He says, by the way, these two fellows came to me, and they asked me a shayla, and I passed in so-and-so, but I just remembered that the Shach says not like that. So what did he accomplish? He saved the Rav, his job, because he could also make a mistake. At the same time, he wasn't master them in the Dvar Avera. He sent them, you know, the telegram, you know, by the way, that this and this is the halacha, but at the same time, so, Rosham Shadron, who I heard the story from, he says, you can't imagine for Rav Yisrael Chana not to know a Shach is the biggest, he was lowering himself, it was a big bizarre, the Gadol Hadar, the Gadol in Tzach, to make a mistake in an open Shach, it's like someone not knowing grace as far as he can. But he was willing to be Mavaza himself for the sake of somebody else not having bizyonis for the sake of saving that person his job. And Agaburcha, I reminded myself of a mice that Rav Shach said over by Rav Yisrael Chanan. Yisrael Chanan had the load of the whole world on his shoulders. They lived through terrible times in those days. Terrible times they didn't live through. From time to time, he used to have to go away on vacation, push it to relax from the tirdus of the tzibur. So he used to go to a small town, not far from Kovna. He used to have to go over with a boat that used to take you over the river. So his secretary, Rav Yaakov Halevi Lipschitz, was his personal secretary. And every day he would go over that river by boat and bring the mail. The musical hunter would write out the chuvas and give it back to them. He would come back to Kovna and mail. So one day, Rav Yaakov brought his regular delivery of mail. His Kohanan wrote it out fine. And Rav Yaakov is already back by the river. He's in the boat already when he hears Rav Yitzchak Kohanan screaming, Rav Yaakov, Rav Yaakov, I have to tell you something. Must be an emergency. What's the big emergency? He says, oi, I forgot. There's a cat that hangs out our house, around our house, that we give it food to eat. And before we went away on vacation, I forgot to arrange for somebody else to feed the cat. Could you please make sure that the cat gets some food? Philip Lund, the Gadol Hador that has the burden of the world on his shoulders, and yet he has on his mind that he forgot to arrange for someone to feed the cat. That's a perfect example by Yaskein Aharon, that the spotlight of Torah focuses on the beautiful midas of the person. Aharon HaKoyin embodied the lessons of the Menorah, the Har HaTorah lighting up the beautiful midas of the person. Torah goes on to tell us, V'zeh Maisa HaMenorah. This is the mice of the menorah. This is the way it was made. Mixer zohar, chiseled out of gold. At yurecha, its base. At pircha, the flowers. Mixer he. Kamara ashehera Hashem es Moshe kein oses haminayir. So Rashi says, "Zeh mice haminayir." This is the mice haminayir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe Rabbeinu how the menorah looks. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to figure it out on his own. Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult, and even after studying it, the Seif Dover was that he had to throw the gold into the fire, and Memela Menorah came out. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to make the Menorah. Understand what was the difficulty of the Menorah? Yeah, you're right. It was an intricate kind of a keli. Yes, but so there was other keli that were also intricate. What happens with the Menorah? Moshe Rabbeinu had special difficulties. So the Vilna Gaon says, "Amayir the Kipshat." I told you before that the menorah had different aspects of it. There were seven konim, seven pipes altogether, with the middle one. There were nine gevi'im, nine cups in the menorah. There were 11 kashtarim, 11 flowers. Seven konim, nine prochim, nine flowers. 11 kashtarim, 11 apples, 22 gevi'im, 22 cups. If you take the If you add up all of those with the menorah itself, it comes out to 49. It comes out to 50. comes out to 50. That represents 50 madregas of Chochmah. But we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, like Chasreu Ma'atmei Elohim, Moshe Rabbeinu was not zeicher to that Shar Nun. He wasn't zeicher to the 50th. So it wasn't that the physical menorah he wasn't able to make. He had to tie together the menorah with the ruchnis, the kethis that it represented. And Ayos Moshe Rabbeinu was only zeicher to the 49 Niskasha Moshe B'maisa HaMenorah. So the B'Sayif, after studying it, after harving it on it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, throw it into the fire, it'll come out. And it's still considered like Moshe Rabbeinu made the menorah. Why? Because if you harv on something, if you work on something, you put all your effort into it, the Sayif Dover is, even if there's a madrega beyond you, but if you did what you can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers if you did it. Similar, we find the same thing with the mitzvah Sfiras Ayma. It says, Tistru Chamishim Yayim. Every day represents a different madrega of Chochmah. You count 50 days. We don't count the 50th day. We count 49 days. So why is it Tisperu Chamishim? Same thing. We can't be massive that 50th madrega. Right? But by counting 49 and doing what we can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if we counted those 50 days. It's Tisperu Chamishim. And that's a very ridiculous lesson of Chizik for us. Because a lot of times people find themselves in difficult situations. They say, oh, look at my situation, it's impossible for me to learn, it's impossible for me to attain anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us that if you put your kliches into it, and you do what you can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already makes it possible. That's the lesson that we learn from Vizem Maisa HaMenorah. Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha. The Apal Pikein at the end, it got done. So a person should never think that because of the difficulties that I have to give up Lahepach. You should move on, you should try your best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you with the rest. Pasuk goes on to say, Vayihi anoshim ashahoyu tmeyim lenefesh adam. There were anoshim, there were men that were tameh, they were contaminated by a dead body. And the second carbon Pesach, that means the first carbon, the only carbon Pesach in the Midbar, they were tameh, they could not do the carbon Pesach. By Ikruvu Lufnei Moshe, Lufnei Aaron, by Yom Ahu, by Yom Anoshim Mahema, a love, Anachnu Tmeim, we're talking, what are we supposed to do? Anachnu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wait, I'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where the dinner Pesach Shemi came out. Now, before Shem asked Kasha, why did they think that they were going to bring the carbon Pesach? How did they know that a Tomei does not bring the carbon Pesach? The din of Tomei was not yet set. That's number one. Number two, if you're medayik in the pasuk, it says, "Vayhi anoshim ashahoyu tmeim lenefesh adam v'lo yochul." They were not able to. It should be said it was also to them to do. It's not a question of able or not able. It's a question of being also or mutter. So why does the Torah say over here v'lo yochul lasis? I saw a beautiful pshat in the Sefer Gan Rava. B'shem Rav Mendel Pristiker, he said the following: the Ovis Hakdoshim were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. How? Because Baruch Hu was not Mitzvah them on the mitzvahs. So how are they able to be Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula? There's different answers to that. But one of the answers given is that they were so Mezachech, their Evorim, their 248 Evorim, and the Shasad Gidim. They were so mitire them, and they so sanctified their Evarim, that Memela Kedusha attracts the Kedusha, and Memela their body was able to do the mitzvahs. They were masig on their own. Their hands were attracted to this Kedusha, to Tefillin, or to such and such, and they were able to figure it out on their own. Because of the purity, the sanctity of their neshamas. These people that came over here, they taki didn't know that it's also to bring a carbon Pesach B'tumah. But these were chashuvim people. Who are these people? There's one man in Masechta Sukkah that says it was the people that carried the Aron Shel Yosef. They didn't just get any average dough to carry the Aron of Yosef. These must have been tzaddikim nifloim who purified their goof, who sanctified their goof. Another man says it was the people that took Nadav and Abihu out of the Mishkan when they were dead. Also kedusha. Also purified their goof. There's a third man says it's not people that were oisik with mace, but they were tzaddikim, people of the Dardaya. Memele the Taka didn't know that it was also to bring a carbon Pesach B'tumah. But it says, Yochlu, they were not able. Because they were so pure, and so, because they were so in tune with Kedusha, and when there is a mitzvah, when there isn't a mitzvah. So when it came time for the carbon Pesach, their goof did not allow them. Yochlu, they weren't able to do the carbon Pesach. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, what do we do? Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's wait, let me ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. used to hear from my Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter Zatzal, used to say Kuseider. You find in the Torah at numerous places, it says, Lisucha lecho b'sharecha, you may not eat kosher in your dwelling place, you have to eat it, you know, in a certain makim, in a makim of Kedusha. The Torah says, Lisucha, you won't be able to. He says, Moshal Ma'ad Lover Daimon. The guy's at the top of the Empire State Building, and you tell him, jump. So what's the guy going to say? Nah, I don't want to. Or is he going to say, jump? I can't. The guy says, I don't want to. He's a Mishugin. They're like, it's mashmish. It's within the realm of him doing it. He just, right now, he doesn't feel like it. Obviously, the guy will say, I can't. That is what our attitude has to be to Averis. Not to say, I don't want to do the Avera. We have to refine ourselves. We have to be mal ourselves on such a madreya. It's not to say, I'm choosing not to do it. Not ich vilnish. I can't. I can't. It's impossible. That's the way we have to be mawa ourselves. I heard Shem Rav in Montreal. He said over the following night, with Chatzka Levenstein, when the Mir Yeshiva was in Shanghai, it wasn't easy always to get food, and Rav Chatzka was very intense in his avoda, and they didn't have the proper foods for him, and he was very, very upgeschwacht. So much so that his family, his talmidim, were very worried about him. So one of the Bokhrim used to go out, and he was able to communicate with the Hamoinam there, with the Goyim. He once went out into the marketplace, and he sees this fish there. And he found out, he was able to tell that the fish were kosher, the fish that had scales. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I have fish, I can bring my Rebbe fish. They cooked the fish, they prepared it, they bring it to Reb Chatzka. Chatzka says, thank you very much, but fish, that's a Shabbos Dikamaychel, middle of the week to eat fish. He said, Rebbe, you need it. You need the pasha for your koyches. You know, you have to do it. He said, but what can I do? The mice, all my life, I never ate fish during the week. It's reserved for Shabbos. I'm not allowed to be over. It's like a nether. So they got together. They went through the halacha, and they passed him that because of the situation, there'll be matan nether, and he can eat. Taki, three Talmid the Chachamim got together. He said, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. They were matan nether. Now, Kotzkel, with Les Beir, they put the fish in front of him, and he's ready to eat. I can't. I just can't. That's a perfect example of someone that refined himself so much that a nice Michael, that is miyuchet for Shabbos, Thakala halacha, maybe it's mutter, but he so developed himself that Gashmias has more of a shaykhus to Shabbos during the week. He can't be Isaac and a Magushim, the Kemaychel, Echemish, Itaka didn't need it. Despite the fact that he needed it for his kaychus. That's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us over here, they weren't able. They were so refined that it went against their grain, and they felt that they couldn't do the mitzvah. There's a Mayridik Yisaydis Dikipshad over here from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. When they came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Imdu, stand here, the Eshma'o Ma'isav Hashem Lochem, and I will hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will command you to do. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Imdu the Eshma'o? Stand and I'll ask from Hashem, I'll hear from Hashem. Kitalmid Hamuftach L'Shmoya Mipi Rabbi. It's like a Talmud has a shirk. He goes over to his Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, what's pshat in this Gemara over here? This is the way Moshe Rabbeinu was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me hear from Hashem what he says, you know, and the Ashrei Yilud Isha. Praised is one born of woman. Shekach Muftach. That he's so confident he could walk over to Hashem. Shekol Zman Shehoye Roitzoh Yemidaber Emashkin. Whatever he wanted to do, he could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Halacha, and that's it. He knows the Halacha. So Yaakov asks a question. Is Ma'ir a Shaila like this? The Gemara says in the Sechus Tmurah Dafka Zayin that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Yifter, he called over Yahushua. And he told Yahushua, Yahushua, any Shaila that you have in Halacha, anything that you're in doubt about, ask me and I'll tell it to you. This is our last chance to speak and learning. I'll tell you whatever Shailas you have in Halacha, I'll be Mavaro for you. Omalai, he said, ready. Did I leave you for 1 second? I was with you every moment in the midbar. Didn't you write about me in the Torah? I know everything. You know, every single thing you taught me, I don't have any spikers. I know everything. Miyad, immediately, Toshash Koichi Shel Yehoshua. Yehoshua felt weak because he made Moshe Rabbeinu feel that he was like telling me, insinuating, I don't need you anymore. I'm already on my own. I already know everything. So Toshash Koichi Shel Yehoshua, V'nishtachu Mimenu, Gimel Meyers Halachis. He forgot 300 Halachis. V'nodu Loizayin Meyers Sveikis. And he had 700 Sveikis in the Torah. When Klal Yisrael heard about this, they wanted to kill him. See, Yeshua begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer him. Hashem said, Yeshua, I can't tell you those halachas. I can't tell you those halachas. You have to work on that on your own. He says, what am I supposed to do? He says, go out and fight the battles of conquering Eretz Yisrael, and that way they'll forget about you. So, you see that by Yeshua there was a problem of Torah Lo Bashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't tell him the halachas. Later on, Osniel ben Knaz was master of the halachas b'pilpulei, the Gemara says. But Hashem couldn't tell the halachas to Yeshua. So why by Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there a problem of Torah Lo Bashamayim? So, Reb Yankim, you see from over here that Moshe Rabbeinu was in a different category of a chlal. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the madrega of Imda v'eshmo, pe'el pe'ad abrabai. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Kaviyoch, like a chavrusin. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no chesaron of Torah Lo Bashamayim. And whenever he wanted, he asked the halacha. With the siyum of the tkuf of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no longer a pe'el pe'ad abrabai. Then already, Nevi'im couldn't just come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask whenever they wanted. That was something that was miyuchat to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, the same way he got the Torah at Sinai, that's why he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a regular basis. There's no problem of Torah Lo Bashamayim. By the other Nevi'im, they had to wait. Not always did the Shechina descend upon them. Not always was it possible. There was a barrier there. And that's where Torah Lo Bashamayim, that's where it starts. So, Rabbi Yankiv Kainis, that this was one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did not teach Yeshua. Could be Machmas says Anova, he didn't teach it to him. But the Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos, Im HaRishayim Kimalochim, Onu Kibnei Yodam. If the earlier generations are like angels, we are like Bnei Yodam. Im HaRishayim Kimnei Yodam, Onu Kachamayim. The Loi Kachamayim Shal Rapinchas Ben Yoyer, that was a special Chamayim. We're like regular Chamayim. This is a Halacha L'maisa. And this is practiced in the Gemara. If the Mishnah has a certain halacha, and an Amora says differently, the Amora is Al-Kishlag. Why? Because, Lagabi, the Tkufas HaMishnah, the Amora is like a Ben Adam. Mishnah is like the Malach, the Amora is like a Ben Adam. If there's a Kasha on a region from an Amora, there's nothing to talk about. The region is Al-Kishlag. There's nothing to talk about. Why? It's a different generation. This in itself is a halacha. And that's what Yeshua did not know. He knew every single halacha. But that Moshe Rabbeinu was in a different realm, a totally different breed than he was, that he didn't teach him. So that, unfortunately, he learned the hard way because he forgot the halachas, and now he saw that he's not on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, Pe'el Pe'adabar, by Yeshua didn't have that madrega anymore. And that is a guidance for Psak Halach in the future. Just want to finish off with one more short part. When Aaron and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel on behalf of Miriam. He said, "Kael na refa na lo." He said the word "na" twice. So the Chiddush says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Kabbalah that when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you say the word "na" twice, he automatically answered. So the Chiddush, that's pshat in Parshas Ve'eschanan. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he said, "Evron no, please let me pass over the era as the Eretz Hazais." If he would have said the word "no" a second time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to listen to him. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? "Rabbach, enough, that's it. I'll tell you something, Dabarei, like, don't say the word "no" a second time." And Moshe Rabbeinu, because his Gevaldig Ahava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hagami had a tremendous rotzen to go into Eretz Yisrael, or he was mevatel his rotzen for the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could have said no a second time, but he didn't. A good Shabbos, everybody. Thank you.
Shabbos is Shabbos.